quiet. And may I read you a few verses from St. John's Gospel. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 21. John 13 and 21. And after he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of the disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answers, "The one to whom I'll give this piece of bread when I've dipped it into the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you're about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought that Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. I thought the best thing we could do in response to what happened on Maundy Thursday is to look at what happened on that first Maundy Thursday evening, and then to share communion with each other. And after I've finished, I'll go and pray over the bread and wine, and then invite you to come forward if you'd like to receive bread and wine. Cliff and James will be giving out the sacrament. Bibi and I will be available over there for anyone who would like prayer. Please don't feel you have to either receive bread and wine. Please don't feel you have to be prayed for. Please don't feel you have to do anything at all, actually. The fact that you're here is a miracle. And so it's a miracle because of the pressures of the city, not because you lack any sense of holiness, I should say. And so that's all. Jesus was having his Passover dinner with his closest friends. All 12 were there. He'd washed their feet earlier in the evening, trying to break that competitiveness that seemed to grip them every time they got together. Whenever they were away from the crowd, they began to argue about who was the best, who was the greatest. And the Lord Jesus, in washing their feet, wanted them to focus on something of greater significance. And then, almost as if trying to be patient and mature and generous was almost too much, he bursts out in the second part of verse 21 and says, "One of you is going to betray me." John remembers Jesus being troubled in spirit. He was clearly devastated as the reality of looking round a table at his friends and realizing what the next 24 hours would involve. One would betray him, 10 others would desert him, and only one would stick by him. Of course, when he said, "One of you will betray me," Simon Peter immediately wanted to find out who he was and do him over. He simply wasn't going to let that happen at any price at all, and he was ready to go into bat, as it were, against whoever was this person who was going to betray the Lord Jesus. And he signals to John, saying, "Find out. You're sitting next to him. Find out who it is." And John, described here by himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And in the Greek New Testament, that translates one very unusual, in fact, I think, unique word. John knew just how much he was loved by Jesus Christ. It wasn't that he was the favorite, but he alone understood how much Jesus loved him. That's why he stayed there at the cross until the very end. He was the one, and Jesus gave him a clue in the quiet conversation that followed as the chap will dip the bread in the wine. And then on Jesus' right hand, where then as now the guest of honor would sat Judas. Jesus had put Judas there on his right as a kind of mute, final plea. Don't do it, Judas. Don't do it. Just trust me. And all you want out of life, all the agenda which as a knife man has characterized your life, is what Iscariot means. I've got something so much better than you could ever have dreamt of. But it was too late. Verse 27, as soon as Judas took the bread, Jesus entered into him. And John, in that dramatic way, says in verse 30, as soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. It was dark, not just physically, but a darkness that enveloped Judas's soul. He was too interested in his own agenda. He tried to force Jesus' hand. He thought when he kissed him in the garden that Jesus would lead the armed insurrection. He thought when he was on trial, he'd then call a start to it. He couldn't see beyond his own agenda to God's bigger one. And in the end, when he realized that the vision of Jesus was cosmos-sized and embraced eternity, and how he totally got it wrong and misunderstood, in a moment of devastating remorse, he went and hanged himself. And as we think of the two men, one on either side of the Lord Jesus that night, one who knew how much he was loved, Jesus whispers to each of us, to you. And Judas on the right, Jesus says, will you trust me? Just a little more, and surrender your agenda to mine. My timing won't necessarily be yours, but in the end, mine is the right one, says Jesus.